Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
You know, I tell my staff that works with me, you have one or two things to keep in mind, and the first thing is keep me happy. Because if I'm not happy, guess who's going to feel that? Is that coming really clear? And almost like maybe you're the second or the third thing is, don't mess around with the work that I'm here to do. Because if you sabotage it, you're out of job. Because you sabotaged yourself. And the way you'll know that is you won't be around anymore. So if you want to work and do this, then we work and do this. Not the way you think it should be done, but the way that it tells us that it is to be done. And the one that listens and tunes in and gets the message is the one who can tell what's going on. And the one who can't, who likes to tell everybody what they think it should be because of their ego or their past conditioning or their poverty or their sabotaging effect, are the ones you don't need around you. But then you go ahead and sabotage yourself anyway, by making yourself right in your poverty and your boss wrong. He fired me. He was terrible. Why did he fire you? He said I typed the letters wrong. Did you? Yes. Well, that's reason enough to fire you. Did you just do one? No. No. How many? Oh, let's don't talk about that. Let's talk about how wrong my boss was that he fired me. So let's don't talk about your boss. He's probably a really neat guy to keep you around as long as he did. Because if your attitude at work is the way it is now, who needs you? Who wants you? Who wants to be involved with you? It's like, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go sit over here in this corner and I'll be really depressed. Now I'm in the corner and I'm really depressed and nobody comes around to visit me because I'm depressed. Why don't they come and visit me? Don't they know I'm depressed? Yeah, they know you're depressed. That's exactly why they're not coming around to visit you. You're sabotaging yourself, and as soon as they come in, you're going to sabotage them. By what? Making them feel guilty that they didn't show up to get you out of the depression earlier. Well, who put you in the depression? My boss. Why? He fired me. What were you doing? Making a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of them on purpose. Wrote up invoices wrong. I almost bankrupt that SOB. Now he's suing me for embezzlement. I was going to pay it back when I felt like it. It was just an interest-free loan. It was really a gift. He just didn't know it. And now I'm afraid he's going to find out just how much the gift was. And he's so rigid, and he's so stubborn, and he's just so terrible. And then the question goes to your mind, how did he manage to hire you who are so wonderful and so good? How did he happen to pick you of all the jewels of all time if he's so bad and so terrible and so no good? At least he had the good taste to hire you. And the good sense to fire you. We just don't like to hear that. Oh, we don't like to hear it. It's like, well, so what? I'll tell you what, so what? It's what so. And you know who cares about that? Nobody. I hear people come up and tell me exactly how the thing should go. I said, what do you got, a crystal ball? One came up and said, we. And I said, we? What, you got a rock in your pocket? I see you standing by yourself. Then you don't treat them as nice as they think you should treat them nice, because people in your position don't do what you do. Is that right? What do, people in my position? We let you run all over us? And I let you do anything you want to me? Hey, that's the bottom of the barrel. I climbed out a long time ago. Why don't you climb out? No one needs that type of action. And yet, aren't we great at promoting it? Well, if the bottom line of all that is energy, and the bottom line of that is light, and the bottom line of that is participate in it, and the bottom line of that is be active with it, well, what's the bottom line of all that? It's called loving. Because the very, very bottom of all the bottoms is that energy called loving. It's not just love, because that's pretty static. Once I read a thing that said, if there was enough love in the world, everybody would be okay. And I said, that's just nonsense. That's just a platitude to make you stop. Because you can say, oh, I love you. I love this world. But loving, meaning right now, and when later appears, also. And when tomorrow shows up, also loving. You see, we say, well, I loved yesterday, so I did my work. I don't got to do it today. And so today you don't feel that action inside of you of the energy coming up. And so when it doesn't come up, you start to look to see why it isn't coming up. And you can find a lot of reasons why. And they'll all be wrong. Because it doesn't function by reason. It functions by action. Now here's the paradox of paradoxes. The body doesn't know what's going on tomorrow. The body doesn't know what's going on 10 minutes from now. This body doesn't know 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 30 seconds from now what's going on. It only knows what's going on right now. That's all it knows, is the experience that it is having. And then through my emotions in my mind, I'm going to synthesize it, take it apart, rationalize it, reason it, understand it, and then try to make believe that the body didn't do it or didn't do it the right way. You know that the body can only do it the way it can do it? At any given point, it only does what it does. But the demands we place against our body in terms of our mind and our emotions are atrocious. And we wonder why we have problems. We wonder why there's an energy block in the body and we have pain. So we try to rationalize and reason the pain, when actually if we got up and started walking around, it might go away. If we just got up and got active and started participating. Instead of just thinking of going to the store and feeling good about what you're going to buy, why don't you just go down there with your body and do it? That leaves then the mind to be free to tune into the greater energy fields, and it leaves the emotions there to tell you what's going on right now in your environment. Your mind can't tell you what's going on in the environment right now, but your emotions can tell you what's going on, because they're telling you what you're getting in touch with. But they don't tell you what's right and what's wrong. All they say is, you're in touch with the depression. Then your mind makes it wrong. So then you don't want to feel that, because, gee, if you feel that, that's bad. Well, how are you going to know you're in it unless you can feel it? The emotions are a great, great indicator of what is right now, presently, going on within your physical structure, not your mind. Because the mind can be distracted so fast. How many of you here meditate? How many of you really, really focus your mind on one focal point of energy and can hold it there for 2 hours? That's meditation. The other thing is a process of sitting down and playing the games of who should and who shouldn't do what. And yet we say, well, I meditated 2 hours today. And it's like, well, are we supposed to worship that? Because if you truly, truly did hold that focal point of energy for 2 hours, you wouldn't have to say a word to anybody. They'd know it. They'd know it. My God, you can't hide it. They also know that you don't meditate effectively. People ask me, do you meditate? And I say, nah. I say, why not? I say, I don't know how to meditate. I do spiritual exercises. I say, why? I say, well, because I can't keep my mind steady that long. It plays games. So I've learned to, like, get past it into the spirit, and I just let the mind play what it wants to and let the emotions do what they want to, and let the body walk where it wants to, and I just travel the other level. They say, can you do that? Well, often. Does anybody else do it? Oh, yeah. Lots of people. Well, why don't they know it? Because they got the mind chattering, the emotions flooding, and the physical body all upset. And they're looking for the cure here in the world, and there's no cure here in the world. There may be remedies that make you look back for the cure. You see, the cure in the world is like reading a doctor's prescription. Oh, let's say for a sore throat. And by reading it, that's supposed to clear up the sore throat. Or reading a water almanac book to find out how you can get a glass of water. And you thirst. And the throat's sore. Because you must participate in the prescription of life. That has been prescribed and must be acted upon. Must? Nah, there's no musts here. What happens? You can live this life with a sore throat and with misery and discomfort and die in it. And who cares? You don't even care, or you would get out of that. So what we do is we take to ourselves overeating, oversleeping, overdrugging, over anything to make that is hurting inside of us stop hurting. And the very things we take to make it stop hurting feeds it. Isn't that a real shot for you? That's like having a headache and then mashing your toe. It's like, yeah, but I'm not aware of the headache now. I know, but pretty soon you are, but you're going to have toe trouble and head trouble. Well, now I'll just hit the other toe, right? Then you're going to have it all over. And pretty soon we end up just hurting so badly. Then I'm no stranger to pain and hurt. Because that place inside of me where we all live and that place inside of you where we all live is exactly the same place. It's exactly the same place. Somebody comes up and they says, I've got this terrible headache. I say, fine. They say, you don't understand. It's really bad. I said, oh, I take your word for it. I don't think you'd lie to me for a second. But you are lying because you haven't said the whole truth about it. And the whole truth about it is, yeah, I'm really running some guilt problems, and I'm really running some shoulds and shouldn'ts and whatnots and howevers and some teachings I've had before running through me, and I'm trying to measure to that, and I'm not doing it, and I'm failing, and I'm calling it all wrong, and I'm making it wrong, and that headache is to punish me so God won't have to. Well, not speaking for God. He may do it anyway. You know, that's like adding and more insult to the injury. Of course, there's a good chance he won't if you do a good enough job of punishing yourself. But what would a good enough job look like? Well, it doesn't look like anything I've seen here. So whatever job it is you've got of beating yourself to relieve yourself of whatever you're trying to relieve yourself just isn't going to work. And worrying about it just doesn't do it. I was on a radio program in Miami a few years ago at a hotel, and this is an interview program, and the person said, well, what do you think about worrying? I said, it's a waste of time. And there was quite an audience of people, and they said, what do you mean? That's all I do is worry. How could it be a waste of time? I said, because that's all you do. Why, they wanted to hit me. Oh, some of them just slammed the table and glared at me. Say, hey, it isn't my idea that worrying is a waste of time. It just happens to be that. Would you show me anything you worried about that really happened really great because you worried about it? He said, well, no, if it happens, you don't worry. I'm worrying about these other things. That's already done, I don't have to worry about it. You see, it was my worrying that took care of it. And I said, you know, I had the same thing and I did it and I didn't worry at all. And it happened anyway. They said, I don't believe that. You see, it can only happen a certain way if you worry or if you have fear or guilt. I said, well, I didn't read that book. See, I'm not smart enough to know that. I just went and did it. And it's like, well, how'd you do it? So I just got up and went over there and picked it up and moved it. And all you did was worry about somebody's going to mash it. And when it wasn't mashed, you figured your worry prevented it. Didn't. It wasn't getting mashed that day. They say, well, have you ever moved it and it got mashed? Oh, often. I picked up something that wouldn't get broke here and put it right over in the place where somebody turned around and knocked it off. I said, isn't that just like that? Life is like that. I often just thought that, you know, Mother Earth was just really fickle. She'd wait till I'd get from a safe place to a real safe place and then just crack that open. There's no safe place. There's nothing safe on this planet. Would you like to hear some bad news? As soon as you're born, you start dying. So why don't you worry about it? Or why don't you just live it? Then when you die, that'll be soon enough. A lot of people just die every day. But that's not the correct way to die. You know, the correct way to die is let this day die and not carrying it on to tomorrow. Let tomorrow come alive and let it be what it is and let you live in it. And don't live in it in terms of how great Sunday was and all the love and the joy we had here. Let's let this day die. And let's let tomorrow come alive in a great big brand new thing. And then come Tuesday, let's let Monday be dead. The Bible says something very clever, like, the evil of today is enough. You know, which means, like, let's don't do that tomorrow. And as good as this is, it's not tomorrow. And some people become so worried about what people are going to say and think about tomorrow's performance that they're in misery right now and wonder why they're miserable. It's because, well, but what will they think? And I want them to think this, and I want them to think that, and I want them to do this. They aren't paying attention to you. I know, that's what bothers me. They'd all just think the way I want them to think. Well, we got 4 billion people running that number, and they're all running it differently. How about, let's let them think whatever they want to think. Why? Because if that's all they do, they're harmless. Look at all the things you thought you were going to do and you didn't do. Right? Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I think I'll do this, and I think I'll do that. Some of them were in direct oppositions to each other, and you didn't even know it. Well, how about all those people that are feeling what they're going to do? Nah, they're harmless. Why? Ah, they feel so much, they're like a yo-yo, up, down, up, down, up, down. They're just yo-yos. Does that make them bad? No, you just know where to find them, on the end of a string. Anytime you want to look for them. You know, you have a lot of friends that any given day you can call them up and say, depressed, they'll say, how'd you know? I say, well, it's Tuesday. You're always depressed on Tuesday. They say, well, how about those people that get physically and start? You better watch it because they're going to transform the world because they're going to be doing it. And they're going to take their emotions and their mind and use it as a tool that you better watch out. Because they got that body moving. And it doesn't have to be fast nor dynamic. Every thought that we can get, if we can get an emotion to match it, that's great. And if we can move on it physically, we've got it. But if you just got a thought and the emotions to match it and no way to move on it physically, let it go. Its time is not present. You get that? If you can't go on it physically, it doesn't matter what people are telling you what you should and you shouldn't do. You should have told them off. They're not around. I think I'll tell them off. That feels good. Where are they? I don't know. I'll later. A lot of you tell them off in your mind. That might be good. Because then you say, well, I really gave them a piece of my mind. Well, with all the pieces of mind you've been given, you probably don't have too much left. But that we are, to my way of knowledge, to my way of knowing, and I haven't found a way to contradict it yet, it just keeps on going eternally. And I don't even know what eternity is yet. And I don't even know what 100% is yet. I haven't found it. Every time I thought I got there, there was more on top. Every time somebody said, are you doing 100% today? I said, I'm just doing a heck of a lot. 100%? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know. I just don't know. Every time I laid the groundwork and poured cement on what it was, somebody came along with a hammer and mashed it and said, that isn't it. And I said, that's right, because I should have had your hammer in the cement. And just because you had a hammer out there, and I looked around, there was a pick and a shovel and something else, and I started down the trail and I said, boy, I've mixed more concrete for no good reason. But you could sure tell where I'd been. Mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, but that didn't make them wrong, because I was learning from that. Learning from that. You see, if you teach people something, all you do is give them information. So they walk out with more information. What you've done is you've just shucked them right off. When somebody comes to me and they say, explain it to me, I say, don't bother me. Why? That's all you've had done to you all your life was explained to you, and you still don't know. But get them involved, and they'll learn. I could sit here and give you information about things that would just blow your mind, but it's already blown. With all the things you put in there that you believed. And you're going to look at that and say, you know, I spent all that time with all those people and I didn't really get involved in my own life. And here I thought I was getting involved with them, and I wasn't getting involved with them. I wasn't even involved with me. And it's like, I do that all the time. It's like, say it again. I do that all the time. Once more. I do that all the time. Yeah. I get it now why it isn't working, because I do that all the time. I can change that because I know what that is. So if it seems familiar, that's one of the things I do all the time. I think I'll do some unfamiliar things. Like, just dare to stand up and say, hey, I'm over here and I'm okay. I might not be terrific, but I'm a lot better than I was. And in 2 days from now, when I look back on when I was okay, I'll know that was really terrible compared to where I am now, but that doesn't make that wrong, because that was okay then. Hey, and even in the pits isn't wrong. At least you know where it is. You know where it is. And when you start to come close to that place, you start to tip, you say, wait a minute, I know where that is. I don't have to do that. Just because somebody said I had to feel bad or guilty, I didn't have to believe that. I didn't have to believe when they said Fords were no good and Cadillacs were no good. I didn't have to believe when they said only their religion was the best. I didn't have to believe any of that. I think I'll just believe what my experiences are. And my experiences might not be much for a while, but they're starting to grow because I'm living my life and I'm getting involved in it. Do yourself one favor. And if I could say, hey, do one thing for yourself and for me and for God's sake, and that is validate your experience. And yet you don't kick the rungs of the ladder by which you get to the top of the roof, because if you fall down, you know how to get back up by the rungs of the ladder. See, a lot of us say, oh, well, my high school wasn't too good. It's like, why? Well, because I have a PhD in psychology. I got that at this university. Yeah, but you came up by that high school. Oh. Well, I didn't think it had anything to do with this university. I know, that's the problem. Everything has to do with everything. Everything has to do with everything. But why don't you just live it the way it's going to unfold for you? And it'll be a roller coaster. Oh, Lord, will it be fun? You know, slow up, resistance to the top, and then it goes, and you think, my stomach just went out the top of my head. And then it whips around the curve. You say, my arm went over there about 2 miles. And the other curve, there went that other arm. All you're doing is expanding consciousness, folks. That's all you're doing. You're just expanding beyond what was known as your present limitations. If you're going to have limitations, why don't you just have them out there, infinite ones? You say, yeah, but I got to be practical and realistic. I didn't say be dumb or stupid. Just expand your limitations out there and start living where you are today to the fullest. Don't live out there in that other area, but just know that that is available to you. And every time you laugh and have joy and you release the depression, you now have more energy available to you than ever before. And that energy is being pushed up by your love. And it'll come up and it'll shake you as it brings you alive. And it'll be strange and unfamiliar, except when it takes place, you'll say, oh my God, my heart opened and it's full of love and I want to give it all away. That's foolish, huh? Except that's the way it works. What love you've got, don't hang on to it. Give it away. Give it all away. Just love everybody. Don't get anything back. You don't need their love. You've got an infinite supply inside of you. Be infinite in your giving, because that then makes you infinite in your receiving. Berush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.